Pod Clubhouse and Decorating the Set from Hollywood to Your Home with Beth Kushnick are pleased to announce our Frontline Workers Hero Appreciation Contest.
Running from now until May 19th, the rules for the contest are simple. We want you to nominate the frontline worker hero in your life and tell us why. That's it. That's all you have to do.
The frontline worker chosen will win a design consultation with interior designer to the stars and set decorator, Beth Kushnick.
As well as a gift certificate sponsored by Raymourn Flanagan to help put your design ideas into action. To nominate your frontline worker hero, just head to podclubhouse.com and fill out the official contest form. See the post at Pod Clubhouse for all of the official rules and contest information. No purchase or payment is necessary to enter.
Void where prohibited by law.
Pod Clubhouse.
Hi, y'all. It's Kat, co-host of Latinx Lens, and I'm joined by Rosa.
Hey.
And we're joining the Pod Clubhouse again and doing a Love It or Leave It of Selena, the series, part two. We did a Love It or Leave It for part one. So if you haven't listened to that one, please go listen to that before you listen to this one. Or if you're just curious and want to, you know, see what part two is about, then go for it. You know, we left off on the last part and had a lot of thoughts about it, Rosa. Do you want to kind of give us a little synopsis of what part two gets into before we get into all the details of how we feel?
Yes, of course. So yes, for part one, we already know what happens in part one. It ends supposedly on a cliffhanger with the band pretty much abandoning Chris Paris in a parking lot of the restaurant after Abraham finds out that Selena and Chris are romantically involved. This part two, episode one, which is titled Como la Flor, it starts right where it leaves off. Throughout the whole part two, we see how that happens. We see how it emotionally affects Selena, the separation from Chris, and how her family is supporting her, or how they're somehow trying to be a means of support for her. But we also get a little taste of Selena's dreams outside of her singing career. I'm going to be completely honest with you, Kat. You and I have not necessarily talked about our thoughts, except for just our quick, no more than one sentence, brief thoughts on part two. But part two, episode 1 through 7, I was enjoying this. I was actually having a good time. I was entertained and I was intrigued by everything that they were showing us. Sadly, those last two episodes they were so bad that they completely ruined the whole part two for me.
We'll save that for the spoiler section.
Exactly. So I'm leaving it as vague as possible.
So for part two, there's 9 episodes, like you mentioned. And we didn't have a favorable review of part one. We were very disappointed. And I was very hesitant to even do part two because of that part one. But Pod Clubhouse asked us to do this one. And I was like, okay, I feel the same way like you do. I actually did enjoy part two. I have some feelings on the last two episodes, but overall, and I don't know if this is just because in TV series, this usually happens anyway, but depending on who it is, it feels like they're getting all the characters and actors are getting adjusted to their characters. And so it feels like they weren't lived in. And I think we talked about that. Like, it felt kind of like a spoof a little bit. And I feel like in the second part, especially with the main cast and Selena and Christian Cerritos, who plays Selena, and the other supporting characters like AB and Suzette and Chris and Abraham Quintanilla, the dad, and also the mom, I feel like they all kind of got better in part two. That was very much a brighter spot for me. So what about you? Did you feel like, I know we had some kind of harsh comments on Christian Cerritos as Selena. Did that get better for you in part two?
Not for me, no. She's the only one that did not get better. Everybody else, though, however, I actually wrote here on my notes that the character of Abraham actually grew on me in this part, too. Him and, yeah, the supporting cast, AB and Suzette and Marcella, they grew on me. I was able to be intrigued by their characters and their motives and everything they were doing throughout this part. But unfortunately, Christian is the only one that still did not sit well with me. In part one, I also said I didn't think she had the... How can I word this? I didn't think she was able to depict and portray Selena's true charisma in her essence and that presence. I didn't think she did that in part one. She completely lacked it here in part two, in my humbled opinion. And frankly, that's what ruined this whole part for me. Because at the end of the day, when she's a protagonist and she's not sitting well with me, it's going to unfortunately ruin, which is majority of part two, where she is involved in it. And I was trying to pinpoint why it wasn't sitting well with me. And throughout watching this part two, I had to stop for a few times. I ended up going to watch some of Selena's interviews. And I'll get into details with the last two episodes. But I did something similar happen in those last two episodes. And I also went back to some of the clips from the Selena movie, and I concluded that Christian was trying to poorly imitate J-Lo's version of Selena. And that's my issue with this whole damn part.
In some ways, when multiple people play real life characters, and in this case, there was the original movie, and then now we have the series. So there's only one person that has tried to play Selena, right? I think, I don't know, don't quote me on that. Obviously, that was a career defining role for J-Lo. And I always find that the movie like a little bit cheesy. But then looking at this, I'm like, oh, they actually did really well compared, you know, like the characters and everything. And J-Lo was really good as Selena. So do you think it's just us being a little bit biased because we've seen that Selena from J-Lo so many times, or are you able to really separate? Like, but although I do feel like I kind of agree with you, I do feel like Christian Cerredo's like while she was doing it good, I think I was more comparing her to, oh, she seems really good like J-Lo, and that's not the point, right?
Frankly, and this is what I was slightly trying to insinuate when I said that the character of Abraham grew on me, was that I not for once did I ever compare Ricardo Chavira's interpretation of Abraham to Edward James Olmos' interpretation of Abraham Quintanilla. Not once did I ever think that. And perhaps, yes, I understand the character of Abraham is not as much in the film. And perhaps I couldn't get a good grasp of him compared to the series where he's more predominantly present. But every time Christian Cerratos was on screen, I was always distracted by her for some odd reason. I just felt, I knew I was seeing an actor and I was just seeing someone else. I wasn't watching Selena when she was on screen, and that took me out every single time, which unfortunately for this part, it's for majority of it.
Yeah, I think one of the criticisms people had in part one, which was not one of mine, was that Selena wasn't at the forefront. It was more about her siblings and you know, her family. And I didn't mind that in part one, but we didn't get to see Christian Cerredos as Selena that much, you know, because she was kind of in the background, and we're like, well, maybe she didn't get to shine. But part two, it was all about her. I did like seeing some of the, I'm guessing, hopefully that was from Selena's real life sister, Suzette, being involved. So I hope the tidbits that we did see from part two were coming from the family, which I'm guessing probably were, right? Like, I don't know, some of those inside stories. So that was fun to see some of like her like ambitions outside of singing and, you know, what she wanted to do with her boutique and all that, that we didn't get from the movie because, you know, it was just very kind of like a little montage. I feel like Christian got better in part two because maybe she has just been with the character longer. So I didn't mind it as much, but it wasn't perfect. And I feel like I was just kind of accepting it because that's what we had to go on. And that's who we, you know, that's what it was.
Yeah. You're much nicer than me. I couldn't, I cannot accept this.
Yes.
No, and
it's a hard part, I will say. Yeah.
Exactly. Which is why they should have at least taken time to cast somebody who could have done it a little better. And this is no shade to Cerratos. I don't know her as a person. I'm not throwing shade at her. It's more of what I'm seeing on screen, what I'm seeing on this part. And it just doesn't work for me. It didn't work for me at all. Sadly, the wigs continue during the beginning of this part, part two. I think a few episodes in, episodes, I want to say 1, 2, and maybe 3, continue to have the ugly wigs. The green screen is here throughout. So it was evident it was all shot at once. That's what I've concluded. Mm-hmm, and then they just decided to divide all these episodes. So none of that goes away. It's still here. But you know what? First 7 episodes, I was doing okay seeing Selena explore a career outside of her singing with the boutique and seeing how she was very much into doing the clothing design and doing all that good stuff outside of the band. And to be quite frank with you, I know in the first part, I said there was no chemistry between her and Chris. And I still did not see it in part two. That anything that had to do with them two, I was completely did not care about that relationship.
Yeah. I don't know how you felt, but there was one character who really stood out in part two. And I actually was thinking, I really want to see him in something else. But that was the actor who played AB, Gabriel Chavarria. Mm-hmm. I really liked AB's character. I know this is a real life person, but it was really compelling, like seeing the producer and how he really, you know, cared about the music. And I wonder how much of it is, you know, true or how much they did like fluff on it. But I really liked that aspect of the part two story of how he really was kind of underappreciated. Like he has his moment with his dad and, you know, like, oh, it's all about Selena, but he's the one creating the music and all that kind of thing. What did you think about his character? Were there any other characters that you did like?
Yeah, I think the rest of the family, including Abraham. Abraham, I very much liked him here, as oddly as the sound, because I know part one, I was bashing on him a lot. But his depiction here was really good, as well as AB and Suzette. Suzette certainly gets more time, more screen time here, which I guess in a way it's obvious. She is one of the producers in the series. And even Marcela, even though she is like the family's advisor and counselor here and does nothing more than that and cook. But even her, she did get a few moments here to shine, which I very much appreciated. The whole supporting cast, and I did like even some of the musicians, including Ricky. I'm going to be honest with you. Look, I cried once in this entire part two series.
Which part?
Part two. And no, it's not the part where you think it is, because those last two episodes were horrible. And it involves Ricky. It involves when she is singing the song that he wrote, and he's literally just sitting there listening to her sing, and he's just overwhelmed with emotion. And that whole sequence, he is so overwhelmed. He just sheds one tear, and that was enough to just literally break me. Because it's actually true. That's what happened in real life. Ricky wrote mm-hmm. that song because he was in love with Suzette in real life. But of course, seeing and learning from experience and learning and seeing what happened with Selena, she's like, yeah, no, thank you. So to see that happen and to just see him overwhelmed and just to see, it was just that little tidbit. And yes, yeah, Suzette is in the scene too. She just puts her hand on his shoulder and he just emotionally breaks down. And I'm like, wow. This is just, that part moved me. And it had nothing to do with Selena. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there were those moments in this series and I appreciated them. And then I don't know about you, but we did hate on we were disappointed with the cultural aspect of part one, where it just felt like it was not to the Mexican-American experience, not the Tejano experience. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, like, while there isn't that much of that in part two as well, it did get a little bit better. I felt a bit proud in a way, because I was like, in some ways it felt like more of just like a drama sitcom thing, but it was with Selena and, you know, the Mexican-American family. AB's producing, they're having their drama. And I don't know, it felt so normal in a way, besides, you know, what we're gonna know, you know, what happens and everything. But that was in itself like kind of a proud thing, like just making this experience normalized, kind of like a Robert Rodriguez-esque that we've talked about on our podcast, you know, where it's not like just focusing on the Mexican American aspect or, you know, that they're Latino or anything. Like, that's not really mentioned too much in this, you know. In a way it's a pro, but also it is a little bit of a con, because there's not a lot of that kind of like pinpoint of where this is or who, you know, what, I guess, if they are Mexican American, whatever. But I don't know. Did you feel that kind of like on a bigger scale of just, I didn't feel that way in part one, maybe because I was so disappointed. But in part two, I have to say overall, I did feel kind of proud in that this was actually out there in that one aspect.
It actually didn't cross my mind. And now that you're mentioning it, it didn't. I don't feel anything in terms of, because I do agree that in the first part, cultural specificity doesn't necessarily, it's not at the forefront. However, I don't think it is here, unless what we're mentioning and we're referring to her winning awards or being nominated on certain categories that are like Latin album of the year or whatever. In that sense, then I guess in a way there is representation there. But in terms of what you're saying, no, I didn't feel that. I'm telling you, I am so cold-hearted right now.
Yeah.
But you know what? If I'm being completely honest, and it's not, I'm just going to say what I truly feel, porque seriously, what Selena means to me, just to me, and I'm not speaking for anybody else, I grew up watching Selena, and her music had an impact in me. Of course, being a little girl, somebody to look up to and so on and so forth. But then I grew up and then I began to learn and become aware of what she did as a woman in a male-dominated industry, what she's done as a Mexican-American. And ultimately, her music continues to be impactful. And it pains me. And I'm so passionate about how her image and how her legacy is being depicted. So to me, Selena is one of those Latino icons. I say she's up there, like, with icons. And when I mean icons, I mean like Frida Kahlo icons, like Che Guevara icons, like Latino icons that, yeah, we fucking deserve better than this. I get it. It's a Netflix show. Yeah, whatever. Limited budget. I get it. But she deserves so much better than this. And if we're going to tell her story and let her legacy live on or present or introduce her story to future generations, I'm just disappointed that it has to be this way.
Yeah, I mean, me too. And I guess I was just thinking about it as, like, you know, there's so many other shows that have been predominantly, you know, from one aspect, one color and all that, that I was like, well, and there's been the bad, good and whatever. And I was like, well, I guess we're going to have our brown one that's bad too, but at least we're on the global scale, right? But yeah, I get it. And then after, I think when we did part one, we hadn't seen the other Netflix show, Hentified, and and if you're talking about quality, it's like, I would probably recommend Hentified more than Selena if you want to get the Mexican American experience. You know, that's from Los Angeles, so I can't speak on that experience. You can, but we've reviewed that on our podcast, and like, it just makes, because at first I was like, oh, maybe it's Netflix and maybe it's like the budget and all that kind of stuff. And then when I saw that show, I was like, okay, it's on the same, you know, streaming channel. I'm sure they had a limited budget as well. And like, that felt more authentic. And so, yeah, it did feel like, okay, then what happened with Selena series if you had the same, probably not the same means, but, you know, obviously something happened here when one, when that other show feels so authentic to the experience, yet this one does not.
Yeah, that's just my frustration. And yeah, perhaps I know I'm coming from a place of privilege in terms of me complaining and whining, and people will be like, well, then go do it yourself. Yeah, I'm working on it, trust me. But it just gets frustrating. And again, it's nothing against the actors. They did whatever they could with what they were given. It's just... Okay. So I'm going to try to move on from my frustrations, because I know it's not very healthy to continue being so negative and bashing on this. So some aspects of the series that I did like, again, I frankly did not know that she had written Bidi Bidi Bom Bom.
Yeah, me either.
Until
yeah.
I saw this. Yeah. So that was very interesting and intriguing to see, and how that originated. That was interesting. Other songs also that were very much popular, didn't know where they originated from. So in the historical context of where these songs came from, that was very interesting. And to bring it back to what you were saying about AB, which was like 2 hours ago. sorry. I certainly agree that if he's able to write so many hits like this, and certainly just for them to just blow up and become so popular, I'm a bit, how do you call it, a bit surprised that he isn't as out there as his sister once was, because he's certainly a genius in terms of songwriting.
Yeah, that's what I guess, that's the aspect I was talking about in terms of like, right, kind of being proud of. Yeah, I wish the show would have been better, you know, like more like The Hen Divide, more like a Crown version of, you know, the Selena story, because at some points, like, I kind of forgot, because, you know, there's not a lot of that, it wasn't too specific, right, with the experience, and so I kind of got lost a little bit in, like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, these are my peeps, you know, this is like from Corpus Christi, and so okay. And I was like, well, again, that can be seen as like a con in a way, but like, it was also a pro, because I was like, oh, people are just going to think this was like a normal thing, but they're going to be listening to Selena's music while they're experiencing this, you know, series, and then maybe researching and like knowing that, hey, this is possible, and like, she did it, and I don't know, like, that's where I guess I kind of felt proud of it, and seeing like AB and like, yeah, like, no one did it for them, they did it themselves.
True.
It got a little bit more insightful, this part two. I don't know if that was done after the part one criticism or if it was already like that. So I would be curious to know if they like went back and tried to do some more, like if they did any rewrites with the thing. Because it felt just a little bit more like it wasn't as generic. What? Because, you know, we did get a lot more story in a way, and it wasn't like Selena was actually a character.
Yeah, perhaps because it was more of her, it was more insightful in terms of her later time in her career, maybe a time where you and I were a bit more familiarized with her. It might have made a bit more sense, because all of these songs in part two were very much familiar and nostalgic for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's another thing, that nostalgic factor of it. This part two, I've seen it twice. Well, technically, I watched it once. And the second time I watched it, it was kind of watching it. And then the rest of it, I was just listening to it. It was very nostalgic. Nostalgic to hear these songs, to hear Biri Biri Bamba, to hear Como La Flor, to hear La Llamada, and all these songs that I grew up watching. So it certainly did hit that nostalgic factor for me. Maybe that's why it might have been a bit more appealing to us or compelling in terms of story and such, because it's a bit more familiar to us.
One thing that was getting to me, and it wasn't necessarily, and I don't know if everyone will have this experience, because, you know, depending on your background and all that, but I just have to note it because it was something that I kind of like caught myself doing more so. And I think this is something that we've talked about with like the gang films and things like that, the bias that we've had watching that, because it comes from like the community. And it's not a spoiler, I think, really, it's just like a commentary. But on some of the choices, it still feels like that machismo culture with the, like, you know, they kind of are always telling Selena what to do, or like in some ways, or she can't do this and that. And I felt like there was like instances that hit a little too close to home sometimes. And so I found myself getting a like, I don't like this. And then I was like, oh, but that's nothing to do with the story. In a way, it's like, that's the culture. Yeah. And so I was like, sometimes I was like, I didn't enjoy it because it was just hitting too close to home, which is, I guess, people won't really realize. I don't know if it's going to hit people the same way, but it was just a little bit annoying in that regard of like Marcella, who's just like cooking, or, you know, Selena can't go and do this and that or whatever. It's just like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely part of the culture, and it does come off a little bit as, particularly if we are very much breaking away from that mentality, it does kind of bring back some, or it can frustrate you or get to you when you do see it unfold. Mm-hmm. But yeah, unfortunately, and I just find it very funny because it's so, not funny, well, yeah, a little funny and amusing that, I mean, Abraham was like this in real life. And
yes.
Just to... I find it hilarious, and it's just me, when he finds out that they get married. Oh yeah, spoiler, they get married.
Yeah, I don't think that's a spoiler, because people can find that out in it's kind of weird, because we will do like a spoiler section.
Exactly.
But
that's
public knowledge. That's public knowledge.
And the first thing he says, like, oh no, he's a very machismo. He's gonna, because of him, she's gonna start singing and she's gonna get out of the band. I'm like, bro, you're a machista. You're the reason why she's singing in the first place.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, of course. But you know what? That's how a lot of machistas think. They're very selfish and very just self-absorbed with their own interest. It's just about me and my family. And if somebody else threatens that, then that's when they become a leader. But yeah. I feel you, though. Yeah, machismo aspect of it was very... Yeah, it can be a bit triggering at times.
Yes, it was a little bit. And also the whole family thing, which obviously love my family and everything, but it felt a little too cultish in a way. Like, I can't do anything without my family. And I'm like, whoa. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It kind of didn't sit well with me. So some stuff I wish I didn't see, because it kind of takes away from like the Selena I want to know, and like, you know, whatever. Like, it just felt a little like, did you really want to do this, or did you not? I don't know. So that was a little bit offsetting about the story, which is, I guess, true, you know, because they were all about family and they created it. But in a way, it also feels like it was forced upon them in a way, and then they kind of accepted it, is sometimes what I get from it, which I know that's not what they're going for. And obviously they all did it, but sometimes I did view it that way.
Yeah, I do agree, because yes, there were some instances where I think they did go overboard, but maybe that is their mindset and how they work and how they function as family. To see that unfold, and yeah, I did kind of see that also. Like, I'm like, oh, you're having a little cult here.
Yes.
But like you just said, a bit cultish, like, such so that they literally somehow influenced Selena to move right next to them. I'm like, really? I'm all, really? Yes. You're gonna have her live right next to you? But apparently it did happen. So I do get what you're saying. You know what? At the same time, though, a lot of our own personal perspectives and perceptions are very much involved here. I'm the only child, so I'm very much used to being by myself. I have no siblings. I never had any of the sibling rivalry. I know what it is because of my four daughters now, but I don't think I would ever force them to do anything they don't want to do. Nor
oh, really?
Would I
you
want
wouldn't?
Them. No, neither would I want them to live right next to me. I've had enough of them. Yeah. But you know what? No, in all seriousness, I think, again, it's going to vary by person and perception,
yes,
and how we all view and think of family. But on the other hand, at the other side of the coin, Abraham said something that really... also triggered me not negatively, when he says, this is why I only trust the business to the family.
Mm.
And by doing so, of course, he's had the daughter involved, he's had AB, and he's himself, and I think one of the cousins also comes into the play. If that would have kept on going, you would have never had Yolanda in there.
Oh yeah, we haven't even
which kind of puts things into perspective.
Yolanda's not really, again, not a spoiler if you know Selena's story. If you don't know anything about Selena, then I guess it is a spoiler. So we can talk about, we haven't talked about Yolanda at all. So I guess we can we can move on into the spoiler section to dive into her, and maybe some of the other things we can talk about more in depth. So before we get into spoilers, Rosa, do you, I feel like I'm going to know your answer, but do you love Selena the series part two, or do you not?
I do not love this part two, nor do I love part one. Go watch the movie, or go watch her real videos on YouTube or her concerts on YouTube. You're better off doing that.
I'm also going to say I did not, but I will say, with one recommendation, if you are just curious and want to see part one or part two because you like Selena, I would actually recommend part two instead of part one. Like, I think although it seems kind of odd because it should follow, obviously it's a part two. You could probably start part two and not really need all of the part one, to be honest. It doesn't really, that's what I was finding. Like, I wish I would have started with part two instead of that part one. So I will say that. Obviously, I don't know if you're listening to this and haven't seen it, or you already saw part one, but sorry. But that would be my recommendation. But I did not love this. I don't want to watch it again. All right. So now going into spoilers, we mentioned Yolanda, which in a series that is not that good and very and disappointing, the Yolanda was, it made me get like a pit in my stomach all the time. Even though I know what's going to happen, it's so dreadful to go through that again, because watching the series, at least in my mind, it makes me sad overall, just because I, like, you see the potential that she had, and like where, especially where we're at now, and like the Mexican American experience, and like maybe she could have been the bridge, you know? Yeah. And so that just makes me incredibly sad every time I watch any of her stories and I get reminded about it. What did you think about the Yolanda, like how they rolled that out? Did you learn anything new that you didn't know before?
Nothing new. Oh my God. She looks very much like her, to be honest.
I think yes.
This casting was kind of,
on point.
Like, whoa. Oh, you look just like her. With all the respect to Lupe Antoyaros, who did a wonderful job in the film. But no, this actress certainly looks just like her, which I think that's what was a bit more frightening for me, to see her there and be like, oh wow, she is a threat, and so on. In this instance, it's unavoidable to have this negative image of Yolanda. No, I am not defending her. No, I am not doing or saying anything, because what she did, of course, is unforgivable.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I didn't see her very much as a threat. I was a bit surprised. I thought she would be depicted more as more evil or more malicious, with malicious intent. Character, but she doesn't. They don't depict, I didn't interpret it that way. It's not until episode 8, I believe, that's when they find out that she's stealing money from her and from the fan club. That's when you start seeing a little bit more of her. It's not very malicious. I don't think she was depicted that way. I thought they would have gone in that route in terms of just making her look more bad, being more of the bad person, but they didn't, which was a bit surprising for me.
Yeah, you're right. I was actually kind of dreading it, because I was like, oh no, especially given everything, the way they've handled like the love story and all that. I was like, this is going to be so cartoony, evil kind of thing. And then they played it very subtle, which I think, to be honest, I think that was the best way to do it, because if they had gone the other way and made her like the villain, like complete villain, I don't know, maybe that would have just like kind of, what's the word? Not diminished what happened, but like, maybe they just didn't want to highlight her too much as well, you know, like the family, like, and they just wanted to do the basic, and because it's part of the story. I actually liked that they didn't show her too much, because I was dreading like a very evil, cartoony Yolanda.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
I know we talked a little bit about some of those points. Do you want to get into any more specifics on things you liked or didn't like that they did?
Are you sure you want me to get into it?
Yes, please.
So yes, episode 8, we do get a little bit more about Yolanda and what she did, and they start to discover what she's doing. The family doesn't really want to tell Selena, because Selena's just very too kind-hearted.
Naive, they say, yes.
Yeah, too kind-hearted. And she's willing to open her trust and be just trustworthy with anybody. So they don't want to really tell her, because she has the Astrodome concert coming up, and they just want her to focus on that. The Astrodome concert is perhaps one of the most popular concerts, like, ever in music history, because Selena is... I don't think it was her last concert. I think it was the last. Is it like video recorded concert or recorded concert?
Yeah, I think
she's murdered. That is so iconic. That wardrobe is so iconic. The entire concert in general is just so iconic. I don't know. I was just expecting to get
be
blown
wowed.
Away.
Yeah.
To be blown away by it. Nothing. I literally had to stop within a few seconds. I don't think I even got to a minute. and watch the real one from Selena, because
oh really,
that was atrocious. That Astrodome concert was atrocious. The lip singing, oh my gosh, was horrible. The editing was just too everywhere. It was just too, it wasn't even sharp. It was quick. It was too much editing. At times I was lost. And then when they were doing the transitions back and forth with the audiences, and then it would focus on a group of people that were cheering on for it. Frankly,
yeah, it was really weird.
This was extremely disappointing, and I was just upset about it. When I saw that concert, I was like, I fucking hate this. I fucking hate it.
You're right. Like, it was curious that they focused on that on the eighth episode. So then it kind of like, that's supposed to be like the biggest like high point. And then they just kind of like, it just felt like, okay. And then nine is into, you know, like her death and like the day of kind of stuff. And yeah. And so it was a bit like an odd shift of like, I feel like the series, although there's very, we've discussed all the points of why we don't think it's the best, but it did flow very well. And then eight was kind of like, okay, the high point. But then, yeah, that concert, I mean, it's hard to live up to. I feel like they didn't do it justice in the fact that it was one of the biggest moments of her career, like one of the biggest, I think, audiences as well, right? Like in the Astrodome history kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really show that like on a big scale. Like, I don't know. I was actually kind of hoping like during the performance they would kind of like just put Selena in there. like cut to some of the actual thing, but yeah, I guess that would have been weird.
Yeah, so yeah, probably would have. But I mean, the only thing I appreciated from that concert was their attention to details, the microphone.
Yeah.
That's all I liked about that concert, to be honest with you. Well, from part two. The microphone, they stayed true to the microphone in terms of details, because Selena always, I don't know if you noticed it in these last two parts, even if you go back to the real concert, her microphone was always, it had the red lipstick. That's the only thing I liked about that part. I'm like, okay, you stay true to it. But other than that, I hated it all. I hate to compare this to a film, but I have to in this instance, because that's the granditude of grandest scales I can imagine. I know a lot of people don't like Bohemian Rhapsody. I understand. I unapologetically love it. But that concert that they did at the end, very similar to this, you have your CGI audience, and then you do have your group of people that are audiences in this big concert for Queen, pretty much, which is perhaps one of the most, Queen is Queen, for fuck's sakes, but the concert itself, it's one of the most well-known concerts. They were able to duplicate that so perfectly. Yes, maybe because it had a little bit of better actors, and I know it's on film, it's getting, it's cinematic in some sense, but that worked. That worked very well, and such so that I felt that I was actually at that concert at the time, back in the 70s, to see that it's possible to do it. You just, I guess, the low budget didn't allow it for that to happen. So that was my breaking point. I was doing good. I was actually doing good through episode 8. That broke me. And then how they ended is perhaps the most cheesiest, cliches way to end that episode, which is with Yolanda buying the gun. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, she just becomes all evil, and now you put the gun on her.
And I'll go back to how it ended, because I think it goes back to my old, like, I hate to use the word cult, like, no, like, you know, in this sense, but like, it felt a little icky. I want to mention some of the, like, a tidbit from this part. What did you think about the Beyonce thing where, you know, they're in Corpus, and then, like, there's, like, a young Beyonce and Solange with her mom. And then, like, she's like, oh, she stares at Selena, and the mom's like, who's that? And she's like, Selena. And then Selena just passes her by. What did you think about that? Like, I wonder if that, I guess that was true, right? Why would they throw that in there? And then the mom says, Beyonce, come on, you know, because they're going to get yogurt or something. I felt like that was really cool to just maybe show that impact of what Selena was doing, you know, as like a, as an artist and also as a woman of color. Yeah. Like making it into that business. Cause obviously Beyonce goes on to be who she is. So,
I mean, I'm taking for granted that it did happen. It was a bit random at first, particularly when the mom literally has to call her out. Beyonce knows, like, if I'm going to be calling my kids by their full names, right? You could have just said Beyonce. You don't need to say the whole damn name. Yeah. We know who Beyonce is. At first, I thought it was just random. But then what happens after, you know, she does tell her, because I think she first encourages her, like, go say hi to her, go introduce yourself, tell her you sing also. And she was very shy at the moment. And then she's like, well, if you want to make it big, you need to, you can't be shy with other people. So to see that happen, it was kind of neat. It was kind of nice. Although random at first, because it just comes out of nowhere.
I just felt sad again about like, and like what could have been and like how many people does she influence? Like, I'm not saying that she was the only influence on Beyonce, but let's just say she had continued on and she, you know, had been able to do more. Like, we could have had so many, maybe other people who would have like seen her because of the representation and all that. So it just also made me a little bit sad because I was like, oh, like how many more Beyoncés could she have, you know, influenced? I know everyone's sad about that. I didn't really know how they were going to end this because I thought it was going to just be sad, you know, because I guess it's like kind of, we know how it ends. And if you don't, sorry, this is why it's a spoiler, but it just felt like I guess this is something that I didn't know. So maybe that's why it felt icky to me. I didn't realize that she had recorded those songs, like, because I always heard the English songs like later. Mm-hmm. And so I thought she was still alive when they came out.
Oh no.
I guess in the last episode you see that, like, oh no, the family listens to it. They're obviously all crying. And then you see, like, I guess it's the way they shot it. I'm not mad that they released the songs because obviously it was for them and for the fans, right? To like enjoy Selena and to keep her memory going. But the way they like edited, like with the montage of like the record dude putting like the platinum selling thing on his wall, I don't know, it just felt like I don't know, it didn't mean to come across this way, but to me I just felt like, oh, we're still making money off of you hanging this up there, you know. And I felt like it took away from what they were trying to do in that, like, the way to end it. What did you think about that?
Oh man, what do I think? I was already screwed with episode 8. Just the ending of episode 8. Episode 9, which is supposed to be a very emotionally impactful moving episode. Oh man, I hated this episode with all my guts. Because you do see it's more of a homage to how the family was impacted by her death.
Yes.
And I think this is the episode where I realized, okay, now I see why you wanted to call this series Selena or the family. Or
yeah.
It is about the family. It's not necessarily about Selena and all the people around her. And to see how they handle, first of all, how they handle her death. Well, actually, that you asked me a few minutes ago if I knew anything about Yolanda. And I was not, if it's true what's being depicted in the series, I wasn't aware that she actually took her to the hospital that morning to actually see if there was anything wrong with her and just to find out that she was lying this whole entire time. That part I didn't know, if it's actually accurately being depicted.
I think it was true. I looked it up.
It was true? Okay.
Yeah, so that was kind of, that was something they didn't have time to do in the film, but that kind of made it like, oh, you know.
I was like, how much more kind-hearted can you be, woman? But yeah, very, very young, naive, but she was just such a nice person. The way her murder was handled was also a bit odd. I didn't want to see the whole thing go down.
Yeah.
No morbid curiosity over here. But the way it was handled, the last thing you see, it's a blurry image of her entering the hotel room. And that's it. We don't see anything. We just hear a gunshot from the perspective of a cleaning lady. And then she hears that whatever she's carrying in her hands, which I believe it was towels or something, she just jumps, of course, because it's a gunshot. You're not expected to hear a gunshot every day. She just lets it fall. And then it transitions to a spoon. This yeah. part I did watch that AB had dropped because apparently Abraham and AB went to eat.
Yeah, because they were waiting for her to go to the studio, and yes, so they went to go eat. Yeah, because they were joking about how Selena time, she's always late and all that. Yeah, that was a bit, like, odd. Like, yeah, because, like, I mean, unfortunately, really? This is not edited very well.
It's not. It is very not well edited. So to see that transition, I'm like, oh, okay. And then how they decided to handle how the family found out about what happened. And all we see is just Abraham and AB, which was another, like, head scratching moment for me. I'm like, really? You're just gonna show us them two? They're driving to the hospital, and then you see Abraham trying to get in. AB stays in the car for some random reason, and we see his reaction via the rear mirror. Abraham wants to go in, and this is what pisses me off. Abraham wants to go into the hospital, and then the next frame is 1 month later.
Yes, that was very weird.
I was like, are you fucking serious? You do see a paper and a letter saying, confirming her death, that somebody on the radio announces it. Everybody finds out. We see the fans crying. And then you transition to 1 month later. I'm mm-hmm. like, how the fuck am I supposed to be emotionally moved by this?
Yeah.
When it's poorly edited, you're just showing us a few bits and pieces of one or two family members, their reaction and to her death. And then a radio guy, I'm assuming it's the same guy that was interviewing her, he announces it, and then that's it.
It's funny because you mentioned the Selena, the series, and like that it's about her family a little bit more and not just her. And I think they tried to do, and this happens like in disaster movies sometimes where like some of those like Michael Bay, whatever, where they show like random people from countries when it's going to like the storm is coming or whatever, because they want you to feel something, right? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, because, you know, it goes away from like the main characters that you're actually following. And with this one, they threw this in kind of randomly, but they would show some specific fans that she like maybe interacted with, and then we would cut to them, but it didn't really, like, they were doing that same kind of method, like showing the people who really loved her, but we have no emotional connection with them, so it like meant nothing. It was just like these random exactly. people. And then since the Beyonce moment had happened, I was like, oh, is this like Sebastian somebody else? You know, like, I was like, is this also a singer? So it kind of like, while they did the Beyonce moment, it was really cool. But then they also focused on these other like random fans that I thought like I was expecting that Beyonce moment as well. And so then it took me out of, and nothing really happened. Like they would just show random fans that like, you know, they got tickets and like stuff like that. So it was really not emotional. It was just showing like, I guess, Selena's kindness. But it, as a, in a TV show and in this series and the way they did it, it didn't make sense, you know, like,
yeah.
So I agree with you. It just like they showed those random fans. They only showed Chris crying in bed. Like, I mean, he should have been the one like the most affected, and the mom and all that. And so, and the sister as well, Suzette, just in terms of like editing wise, like it, or the way they decided to kind of put that together was not the best.
Yes. I wrote here, we see the listeners and the fans devastated by the news. And then 1 month later, and right underneath that, I wrote, they did Chris dirty.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have like a, I've read outside of, you know, I don't know exactly, obviously I don't know all the details. I don't know what's going on. I just, I'm reading Wikipedia, but apparently they've had like Chris and the family have had like falling outs, and I don't know who made who sign whatever, but basically the family has the rights to Selena. So he's tried to make his own thing, and they've, you know, gone to court and they've denied it. So who knows what they have the relationship. So when there was actually moments in the series where Selena and him were fighting alone, and I was like, well, who's making this thing up? It's probably the hearsay that maybe Suzette heard from Selena sometimes, right, or whatever. And it was kind of putting Chris in a negative light for some of those. They did redeem it in some of the moments where she wants to build a farm and all that, and they see land. And so it wasn't completely dirty to him. In those moments where they were fighting, I was just like, oh, I wonder if this is the family's way of like saying like it probably wasn't going to work out.
I mean, I think they did him dirty with what you just said a few seconds ago. When she dies, you just see him in bed. He turns around and that's it. Seriously, you give this freaking record producer guy a moment to freaking cry in front of her, whatever, her platinum record thing. You give him a moment, but you cannot give Chris that. that I thought was just shady, in my opinion, because if anybody was going to be devastated, again, granted, I understand parents and the family. I understand family comes first. And apparently it does, because that's all we see in this freaking show.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's the cultish, that's the aspect I can't, like, I'm not about, I mean, I love my family, but, like, it just is a little bit too weird. I don't know.
It's we just connected the dots here. That makes more sense now.
Yes. But- like, it's just, like, imagine if, like, I just thought about it in terms of, like, my husband, I would hope he would at least shed more. They would, you know, like, I think he would be devastated. I would be devastated if he died, like, and for them to show, like, of course his mom would be devastated and his sister, but it's a different, and I'm not saying we have to compare grieving, you know, because obviously that's not fair. Like, one is not more important than the other, but he was her husband, you know, he knew her intimately. They were going to have babies together. Like, it just seems odd that you wouldn't highlight him in this thing unless you have something against him.
Exactly. And that's where I think they did him shady, in my opinion. We get it with AB, even though AB is not in the family room, where I think it's just the parents and Suzette with her husband when they're listening to the song. You get an AB moment in the studio by himself. And then you get the family. Yeah, that AB moment almost got me. Almost, but didn't. And then you have the family, of course, listening to the song. And then you just get, like, dude, it's not even more than 10 seconds with Chris.
And Chris wasn't even in that family moment, right?
Nope,
was he?
He wasn't. No, yeah, he's laying in the bed, looking at the ceiling. He turns around, and then that's it.
Seems a bit odd, like, you wouldn't invite the husband to be in the family. Yeah, it just is, like, it's like he wasn't really, it just seems like you talk all this thing about family, and then there was that moment also where they got married, which it was a little bit odd, where she's like, well, if we get married, then you're going to be family, and so they have to accept you. It was just kind of like, it just, like, the way they, like, said it, but that's more of the cultural thing than, like, you know, whatever, like,
that cult.
Yes, the cultural, the writing kind of makes these moments seem like talking about it, makes it a little creepy.
Yes.
And I don't think it did them justice. I know they don't mean to be, it probably wasn't that way, you know, but it's just, like, the way they frame it, I can't help but get those vibes, especially, like, you talked about the moment of, like, Selena living next to the house, and the way they did that moment at the dinner table in one of the episodes, where he basically, like, Selena was gonna say, no, I don't want to live, like, I don't want to live next to my parents, you know, I want to go do it on my own, because I've been with them my whole life. And then he says something like, oh, you know, I always wanted to, you know, when we were homeless, you know, I always wanted to be able to give my kid a home, and now I have that, and I want you to have, like, he basically guilt tripped her into living next to them. And I was like, how did this writing and consulting make it seem like, oh, this would be a very heartfelt moment? And that was one of the moments where I was just like, wow, like, do you really think that's sweet? Like, I don't know.
Yes. Oh. I agree with you. Oh my god. Yeah. Yes, we get the 10 seconds with Chris, and we get a longer moment with the recording dude, who gets a moment to cry. He's like, oh my god, he's crying, like, I don't know, maybe he's not gonna make more money anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I agree with you. I agree with you. That is so true. That's how this is being depicted.
Yeah, and maybe they didn't mean it for that to be that way, but it just,
that's
the way they
interpret it.
Yeah, and I can't help the way that's what film and TV is. Like, if you put it a certain way, you're making people feel a certain way, and that's the way I took it. Maybe some people won't, maybe I'm just being negative, but I couldn't help but feel that way.
Yes.
And I think it's just because it was a little, like, it has to be, like, the story editing and the writing and all that, and unfortunately it just didn't work for me. While I could have forgiven everything else that we've talked about, yeah, you're right. Like, the 8 and 9 were just like, oof. Like, I wish, it's so funny, because I wish they would have played it a little bit more safe in a way. And then it would have been like, okay, that was not the best. I'll probably never watch it again, but it wouldn't have made us so mad.
And then it moves on to 6 months later, where we see, like, Suzette speaking in a classroom, and she's having all these flashbacks, and she's telling people to stay in school, which I understand. They want to send that message of the importance of education. We get it. It is important. I'm not saying it's not, but the way it was done, because it's just all of a sudden in the last two episodes is when this is coming up. I think we only see Selena do it once, and then all of a sudden Suzette starts to do it, do that, and so on. I get the message. did not work for me. And then you have, I think this is where it truly was like a bucket of water. And it's when I see the Cumbia Kings pop up. Because I'm going to admit, I was a fan of the Cumbia Kings back in the day. I did like the music, and I knew it was AB's band, and I liked some of their songs. But this is the moment I realized, okay, this is about the family. This is about what they're going through and what they've been doing and been experiencing after her death. This has nothing to do with Selena. It's about them. This is what pissed me off when I saw the Cumbia King. So I was like, oh, really? They try to make it again very emotional with him picking the hamburger, and it's supposed to be like, oh my gosh, Selena used to do that. It doesn't, completely falls flat, and it's just that ending didn't work for me either. They try to do it kind of similarly to the film, with the white dress or the white clothing, and I'm assuming symbolizing that she's an angel or she's in peace. I don't know. Just doesn't work for me. And of course, it's going to end with Suzette taking a picture of her. Of course, it's going to end with Suzette. It didn't work for me. It felt completely flat, and I hated this.
Well, I think it is nice that they continue on with her legacy, and you know, there's people who are going to discover her through this series. I do think it's the family's right to do whatever you want with, you know, obviously your daughter who was killed, and you want her to live on because she was such an icon, and you want the fans to share in that. It's just the way they did it makes you feel a little bit icky and like, oh, it's also like, not that I don't want to see them, because I think they're also interesting people of like what they were able to do. It wasn't just Selena, but maybe some better writing or like the way they handle those moments would have benefited, you know, the story and them, and not made it feel like, okay, we're also, they moved on. And I don't know, in a way that was just like still using her. I would hate to say how you should move on and do all that, because it's not my place, but I'm just watching the series and how it made me feel, you know? So, I mean, that's the art that I'm trying to judge, not them.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe you needed to have a little bit more of a skillful hand to handle those moments. I hate to say, but yeah, it didn't work for me either.
If you are interested, go at it at your own risk, but then don't come at us that we didn't tell you so. That we didn't warn you.
I really don't like talking negatively about this series also because of like all the emotions behind it. And obviously people don't set out to make a bad series. We also can't lie about how it made us feel. And so I hope people have a better experience if you do watch it. But yeah, I don't recommend it either. Hopefully we can come back to the Pod Clubhouse on a series that we maybe like a little bit better. We're not always negative Nancys about shows, but this one really hits us close to the heart on many levels, and we tried to be objective, and it was hard to watch both of these parts. So that's it for Love It or Leave It, Selena the Series Part 2. All right, Rosa, when you're not joining me on Pod Clubhouse and podcasting at Latinx Lens, where can they find you on social media?
I am on every social media platform, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd at Rosa's Reviews. And where can we find you, Kat?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Things Kat Loves. And then if you're curious to see what we talk about on our own podcast, Latinx Lens, you know, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, we're there. And then you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Latinx Lens. Hope to be back with a different series that we enjoy more.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.